There it is. Locked.
It is GloucesterCast 185.
Whoa!
Memorial Day weekend, GloucesterCast.
Happy Memorial Day.
It started out with record-breaking temperatures, and now the weather is starting to go downhill.
We had a taste yesterday, right?
We had a taste.
Oh, it's beautiful, right?
But you know, it was so weird. I was at the Annisquam. It was 83 there at Coolest Landing. When I got to my house in Strawberry Cove, it was 77.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Because we faced that south wind.
Oh, unbelievable.
It is awesome.
Well, let me introduce our guest. We have a new first-time podcast guest, Tim Sanborn, the resident solar guru, who's coming up on 100 solar Cape Ann solar installs.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Amazing.
Super exciting.
Yeah, it is awesome. Amazing.
He doesn't just do houses. He does industrial sites and commercial too, right?
Sites.
Commercial, yeah.
Commercial and residential.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a sec. Yeah. We have Kim Smith here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester. We got Donna Arizoni from Somerville, Massachusetts with us.
Good morning, Gloucester!
There you go. All right, she got
days, one of these days I'm going to get a picture of it.
Yeah. Looks like she's having an aneurysm. It's awesome.
I practice all week.
Dawn is very, like, she is representing today. She has her 1 hour at a time Keeping Gloucester Clean t-shirt on.
Very nice.
Good morning, Gloucester baseball cap and Cape Pond ice like awesome jacket.
Yeah, it's great.
Zip up jacket.
Yeah. I'll bring you a t-shirt for next time.
Ah, very nice. It has to be navy and white, apparently, because otherwise she can't
wear it.
It's all navy and white.
So green doesn't work.
Green will work.
She'll take it. This has been a big week. This is like, I think, you know how we've had this crappy spring?
Yeah.
Like, it's like I've been saying, and it's been this way for 5 years now. It's been winter. Boom, summer.
Yep. Yeah.
Summer, winter, no fall. This is the way it is.
It doesn't take us long to get right into that mode.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kayaking yesterday, swimming. I mean,
art festivals. It was like everything.
It was like people were just went from a winter coat that maybe 2 days before right. to bathing suits.
Literally changing over the
clothes.
This was like an unbelievable thing to change over the clothes this year. Like, you didn't know. Like, you just kept putting it off and putting it off from the winter clothes. I still got winter clothes in my closet.
Me too. I just finally did the big, you know.
I just
the big swap.
The big shuffle.
Yeah.
But it was. I said to Rick yesterday, there's so many boats on the water. People were. I went swimming yesterday at Winkersheet.
Wow.
And it was like no time had gone from last summer.
Yeah. Our restaurants, you know, like some of our restaurants, they only order like, you know, 12 lobsters at a time, you know, through the winter.
Yeah, what was it?
Everybody just like, everybody was doubling up, and another one place tripled up yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, so people were ready to go.
It was odd. It was just so much fun to see people in short sleeves.
And bathing suits.
And I wore my bathing suit.
Did you go in the water?
I did. I went
Kim's family went in the water, too.
Oh, yeah. My husband.
Everybody was talking about how cold it was, though. The water wasn't that bad?
It was 59.
That's cold.
But Joe, we swim on January 1st.
Yes, that's true.
Tom wants to do a blog post for you about, because people always ask him, how did you get in? How do you do it? So, and he does have like a whole technique.
There's a system?
Yes, he has a system for getting in.
We'll have a guest blog post from your husband.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
I bless myself before I go in. And then I dive in.
I have the hardest time. Even in, you know something, it's funny, even when I'm down in Florida, and it's like relatively warm.
What?
I still like, I have this thing with my shoulders. Once I get my shoulders under, I'm good.
Yeah.
But just getting to that point, I have all this anxiety.
You just go right in.
Yeah?
No, that's not. Tom has a whole system for getting in.
He does.
So, yeah.
All right, I'm dying to hear it.
Liv and Matt went in too. They were diving off the rocks.
I saw a nice picture of Liv and Matt on Lighthouse Beach yesterday. Yeah. Back to the returning to the scene of the crime from a year ago where they got married.
I know. They love it up here so much.
Who wouldn't this time of year? Yeah, you don't see them come visiting so much in December, do they?
They were, of course.
They're New Yorkers now.
All of a sudden we had traffic.
And we had traffic.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Traffic means if you go to a beach where there's nobody there, you wonder why. It's like going to a restaurant when nobody's in there.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, so Tim, very excited. 100 coming up on 100 installs. Does that include residential and commercial, or just
Just residential on K-band area. I'm taking some liberties because I'm throwing in Ipswich as well. So folks is Ipswich, you know, they'll feel good about that.
When was your first install?
First install was Farrah, Courtney, and Jack Clark over West Gloucester. About 2 years.
2 years, wow.
Was their install.
They went that quickly.
It's gone that quick. It's exceeded my expectations by
That's
far.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah, so we're at 87. We did 5 this week on KBN.
Wow.
And I can't tell you, we circled on the big board in the office who number 100 is. Yeah. And we'll let you know the future podcast. But we'll have a nice celebration for that client.
So it's funny. So Kim was talking, like, you know, they've been mulling over doing solar for the longest time.
Yep.
But you know, there's a lot of financial obligations that they have in front of them, and you know, and that they're just getting passed. So she's like, I don't know, we'd like to do it. And Tim was like, I'm going to show you that, like, right. There's going to be like no money out of your pocket, and you're going to be able to, like, probably, you know, actually make money on the deal.
Right, that's tremendous.
Yeah, with the Massachusetts Solar Loan Program, you're all on a quarterly basis, you'll be cash flow positive, because as we discussed with Elizabeth at an earlier interview, that the capital outlay or your loan payment will always be less than your electricity savings, mm-hmm. and your income, called solar renewable energy credits, will always be greater than your loan payment.
Wow.
So the money stays in your checkbook.
Right. Yeah. Another no-brainer.
Right, that is a no-brainer.
If you have the house for it.
Like, yeah.
Donna tried, but Donna had the trees around her house.
Yeah, and it's the people across the street, and we're on a very narrow road, mm. too.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
So,
yeah. You live in a nice wooded little glen.
Yeah, right? And we have a view of the ocean, but you still, it's very narrow. Yeah. But
and your trees are quite high.
Yeah, and they're big oaks, too.
Yes, they are.
I was driving by Northeast Cleaners over by East Gloucester Stop and Shop, and they had their install going a couple of days ago. Very clean. I've seen some solar installs where they got these ugly stuff on the side of the house and like wires hanging.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's not what we do.
That's not Tim. Yeah,
we keep it nice and clean. I challenge folks to find the conduit line on our runs, even with homes that have cathedral ceilings, that's a challenge, but we hide it as best we can. And I'm proud to say Northeast Cleaners is our 8th commercial solar install just on the North Shore alone.
Yeah.
And that's the green cleaner just got greener.
Yeah.
Greener.
That's really good.
So, and then we have 5 other KBN business owners that are under letters of intent that we're moving forward on. While we're doing Northeast Cleaners, we're doing the Whole Foods freezer owned by the Montanino family. We've worked with Marcy Pregent on that installation. You can't even tell solar's on that building. We're finishing that one up this week. This coming week, we'll be finished there.
The Montaninos are pretty shrewd business people.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I love the Montaninos. They're friendly, good people, hardworking people, smart, diligent people.
Yeah.
If the Montaninos are putting solar on it, it's because it made sense.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, if you told me any family in the city, like as an example of a hardline, I am fairly certain the decision wasn't based for the Montanino family on going green.
Right.
I'm fairly certain the decision for the Montanino family was dollars and cents, and it just made financial sense.
Well, let me ask you this, Tim. How long a lead time is it? Like, if you came to our home in the next week or so, then how long approximately?
Our commitment to our residential customers is that from the time you say go, we'll get you done within 60 days.
Oh my goodness.
We're doing 4 or 5 on the North Shore alone. We also have a Cape Cod division, a company down in Cape Cod, and we're doing solar installs down there. But that's our commitment, 60 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Telling.
And I'm hearing horror stories about, and I don't want to demean anyone, but I hear horror stories that the competition is taking anywhere from 3 months to 6 months, not only to get them installed, but to get them turned on.
Oh,
and
there's
a couple over at St. Anthony's Drive that hasn't had it turned on for over a year.
What?
Yeah.
See, the reason that I feel comfortable with Tim is because I literally, I've sat down and I spoke with people that have had it for over a year. Mm-hmm. And like, they're not holding back. You know what I mean? Like, there is just like literally, I physically saw their bills. I saw what they're generating. So Tim gave them, you get an estimate of what they think, how many panels, how much your usage is, yeah, what they think the percentage is. Both cases of the two people that I interviewed, we saw the actual, you know, after the fact. You know, we saw the projections.
You saw the projections.
And then what actually was, right, one created 13% over the projection, and one was 14% over the projection. Oh. And that was during months tremendous. This spring, right, where it was horrible. Yeah. There was not much sun.
There was not that much sun.
So, I mean, if we had a sunny spring, could you imagine?
Right. Yeah,
so.
Remember, you can get a sunburn on a cloudy day. So
they do work on cloudy days. The best solar day certainly is a day like yesterday.
Yeah,
clear, beautiful, brilliant sun.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have, you know, those are the.
That's cool.
A feel-good thing because clients are actually thanking us for helping them save money and also make money. Because solar pays your money.
Right, and also it's. I mean, I'm just super excited about the green aspect of it as well.
Right, that's for you too.
Yeah,
But now, if you're a geek. Right, like me, I'm a geek because I would be obsessed with the next part. The next part is there's like this software in these it all ties in, and you get like on a daily basis, you can see what you're generating.
Really?
So it's like, so this guy, what was his name? The guy in Lanesville.
The gentleman in Lanesville. I'm trying.
The one we went to.
Oh, Craig
Dulong. Sash and.
Yeah, Sash Ludwig and Sasha, Greg Dulong. Yeah.
Right, and Greg Dulong.
Yeah.
So he was showing me on his laptop. Yeah. He's like, "Hey, look, this is what's going on." And I was just like, "Whoa, that's right in my wheelhouse." I'm gonna tell you right now, like, as soon as I can buy a house, I'm hoping that it does solar, and it is going on my house.
It's
not even a question.
If
it's going
it doesn't
on.
Have it,
so we converted him.
Yeah. Because I'm the skeptic. I'm like, I'm the perfect example. I am the skeptic. Yeah. You know,
my daughter and son-in-law in Maine have it.
Yeah.
And you can see how much generating the sun is doing, and how little they have to pay.
Oh yeah.
And they have four kids, so
it really.
The tax benefits too.
Oh, yes.
So then another thing is for retired people. Like if your income is not a lot of income,
right?
You get higher. You qualify for higher percentages of what was it?
It's called under the Massachusetts Solar Loan Program. If your income is combined family income is below $80,000 and change, the state will fund up to another 30% of the cost of solar.
On top of.
So they take out an even smaller loan?
They take out an even smaller loan. The state ends up paying off 30% of that loan for the client. And that's incredible for retirees.
Right.
For struggling families that are in that mid-range, they're in this painful area where they might be having an all-electric house, kids in diapers, and they're trying to struggle and trying to just make payment on electric bill. So the state, in their wisdom, and this is, and I'm giving them an attaboy here, is they went ahead and they said, look, let's help these struggling families. Let's help the retirees on fixed income. So it pays those folks to invest in solar. It's just an incredible program.
And we all, you know, like the Mass Save and the Next Step and solar, it's on our, you know, if you look on your bill, it's this little amount.
You're paying for it anyway. You might as well use it.
I've been banging that drum for 2 years now.
I know. We both did the Next Step.
Yep.
They gave us 60 LED lights. 60.
Yep.
For free.
Yeah,
everyone, that's another good point.
Running?
They should all do energy audits. Everybody should do energy audits. And
we have one done.
They can contact me because we have an alliance with a company that does them under the Mass Save Loan Program. Yeah. So feel free to give us a call and we'll help you with that as well.
And again, the local, I'm going back to local because that's my drum I beat. I'm looking right at you. So if you screwed up, I
you know where I live. A lot of my clients say that's the reason why.
You know where to find them.
You know, but it's true because when we were researching, we got this call from an Arizona company.
Yeah.
Arizona doesn't know what. I mean, I'm not against them. They were,
They're all good people.
They're
just from Arizona.
But they're in Arizona. They have no idea what New England really is about. You live here.
One more point I want to make before we wrap this part up. There is a good reason why you should not lease, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So why don't you explain that for people?
Yeah, we don't offer a leasing program, and it's for the ethical reason of leasing. And there's a lot of publicity coming out on it now. People don't realize that when they lease, their savings is only somewhere between 20 and 25% of that potential 100% savings. Mm-hmm. So you're only getting a third or a quarter of what you could get. But the unknown thing, and it's stated in the contract, but what is said at the kitchen table is a little bit different than what's signed in the contract. And in the contract, there is a UCC lien placed on your home. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that lien has to be satisfied in all cases before a homeowner can pull any equity out of their home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Meaning they can't get an equity loan, they can't sell the house, they can't loan against the house.
Wow, that's a little crazy. Right.
Unless that UCC lien is satisfied.
So
a challenge.
So Tim, just so people are clear, because some people were commenting on the post, mm-hmm. and saying, beware that you may not be able to sell your house if you have this on. But see, this is the thing.
Okay.
They're hearing those stories about people that went to someone that leased them.
Yep.
That is not the case with what you're doing.
Correct. I think with the new Massachusetts Solar Loan Program, there is no reason to look at a lease agreement because you're forfeiting all your incentives and you're only saving about 20%. And you're locking yourself
into 20 years.
Minimum.
My husband would have been 90.
Minimum 20 years.
Yeah.
So with the Massachusetts Solar Loan Program that's available to us, or any other form of equity that you may want to use in your home, there's no reason to go out and file for a lease.
Okay.
Right. Ownership is always the best.
People hear, you know, because that's the only thing that I ever hear is, oh, you got to be careful because if you want to sell your home, you can't sell your home. That's if you go the leasing route.
Okay.
And that's why Tim doesn't offer that, because he doesn't want to have horror stories on his hand, horror stories on his, or bad thing, you know, someone in a bad situation, you know, associated with it, that he led them down this path, and now they can't sell their house or something.
You never know when you need equity.
Yeah.
You never know.
Right.
God forbid.
Right.
So that's why we follow the path. Ownership with the loan program is the best way to do it.
Well, I just have one more question, and that is how long do you think the solar panels last for? Like, are they guaranteed for certain?
The warranty on them for production is 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And the best example I can give you is Beverly, up at the Tozier Road near the Beverly Hospital, just above the high school. That system's been in place for 35 years. It's producing at 91% of its original productivity.
Yeah. And so the ones that you're offering are just as high quality?
Even higher nowadays. Our primary product is something called LG panels, and they're very, what's called a tier one product, tier one panel.
And so when I had them, it was only hot water.
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference.
Oh
my God.
Yeah.
Now it's everything.
Now it's all, it's all PV, so it takes care of the entire electrical envelope of the house.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing, right?
Amazing.
So, that's why we've been doing this series, the alternative energy series, is because there's this stuff out there available to us,
right?
And whenever we can bring these win-win-wins to people, we do it.
And you've been highlighting these things for about 2 years now, I think.
Yeah, I'm going on three years.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah. No, you and the honesty. When Mark came out to my house, he was extremely honest that there were too many trees. I mean, somebody else might have said, "Oh, we can put one there, we can put one there," or whatever. But that is a kudo to you.
Well,
thank you. Yeah.
You know where I live.
I do know where you live.
All right, there you go.
I will find you now.
Well, Tim, thanks for coming. I appreciate all the knowledge and everything else. And hopefully, you know, this week I'm going to go out and we're going to try and get to a couple places and do more first-hand testimonials.
Yeah. With the commercial customers. Yep, thank you.
Yeah.
And good morning, Gloucester.
Thank you. And if my trees nice fall during a little windy storm,
you give me a call. And we'll talk. Thank you so much. Thanks, Jim.
Take care, Tim.
Thanks.
We'll see you, buddy.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Yesterday was a very busy day in Gloucester. It was one of those summer Gloucester summer days. It kicked off.
16,000 steps.
I'm going to say, I would say that the highlight of the week of the weekend is this, and it's still going on today, the Harbortown Arts Festival, which you both attended a couple places. Donna, where did you go?
I went to the Harbortown Festival,
which was I-42. Yeah, and explain because it seemed like there was a lot of tents set up there.
There were a lot of tents.
How many exhibitors were down
probably
there?
Probably 30.
Wow.
40. Rusty and Ingrid were there.
Okay.
Of course they're amazing.
Awesome.
It was well attended. Mm-hmm. People were walking, and people were buying, which is really nice.
Definitely.
Then I went down to Art in the Ice House.
Which is at Cape Pond Ice.
Cape Pond Ice, which is so much fun anyways to go in there.
So we should talk about that. So James, did you go in there too?
Yeah, I did.
You and I went in there to this attic space above the office at Cape Pond Ice. And it was this, there was a lot of stuff up there. It was an attic space, basically storage space for his stuff.
There's a bed there.
Yeah. Right, there's a bed, there's like all kinds of stuff.
It was awesome.
So we went in, and James was like, it's going to take a lot of money to get this place up to snuff, to actually run it as a gallery, full-time gallery and stuff. We kind of walked away from the thing, and then we saw the pictures. Who put the pictures? You or her?
I did a post last night.
You did a picture.
Yeah.
Very, a lot of light in there.
Yeah, beautiful light.
And it seems like he used so the solution, because it was the walls were all studded up there, exposed studs.
He used easels.
He used easels for the artwork, which I thought was genius.
Yeah.
And did the artist bring the easels?
So the artist that's there now, her name is Sue Memhard. And she was Scott's.
Is she the aunt?
She was a cousin. She was one of Scott's cousins. And she died several years ago of breast cancer. And she was an artist, poet, children's book illustrator, author, illustrator. And so those, in honor of her, that's, I think he, decided to dedicate
the... Well, I know you had a lot of her artwork.
Dedicate the first show to her. So, and then her husband, Jim Crisp, was there last night, and he's there today showing the painting, talking about and describing the painting.
I bet you they'll leave them up. I'm not guessing. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I bet you, you could probably go to see them. Are they going to take them down?
No, they're going to be there for a little while.
Yes.
He's looking for other artists to... Because I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
And he said, contact us.
The hotel's open on June 14th.
Yep.
So it's a nice space. Yeah, I guarantee they're going to send people down to do tours at the ice house. And while they're there, they're going to say, why don't you go upstairs and take a look at the
art? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, did you see the deck that's right outside the window? It was all open yesterday with the door open. And there's this amazing, potentially... unbelievable, rooftop desk.
Or you could drink wine.
Yeah, you could.
And slice cheese.
Yeah, or you could. Yeah, it would make a really, really nice flow. It would make a really nice flow for having people up there at the gallery, and then because the deck overlooks 10-pound Island.
The views are ridiculous.
Wow.
The view up there, and it was nice to see people because I was talking, of course, shocking, but I was talking to people as I was walking down. They were from, I forget where they were from, but they were really impressed with the view and the artwork. And I said, don't forget the swag,
the first floor.
I'm going to go back today. I think I want to go back today because I like to.
You also went to Premier Imprints.
I went to Premier Imprints because Patty, who owns Premier Imprints, which, by the way, I adore that store. They were doing... Loie Levine, her name is, was making authentic sea glass there.
Jewelry.
She was very intricate doing all that stuff, and I took a picture of her. I posted that quickly.
Did the Eves have something? Did KPNG Clay have a exhibit?
I think
originally they were going to do something.
Really,
I don't know if they did anything.
The Vernal Pond just happened to be having their yard sale to benefit the Vernal Pond, and that was a St. Peter's Square. So I actually saw them when we were cleaning. Ah. At 7:30, they were starting to set up, and there were snakes there.
So how does the yard sale thing work? Everybody just brings their junk down there?
Yeah, there was some nice stuff. They start planning that like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And we posted a couple times about it on the Morning Gloss.
But how does it work? Do they get a cut?
Yeah, it's their annual. It's a big, huge fundraiser for them. So you bring your stuff to them, and they sell it at the yard sale, and they make the profits.
Oh, they take the money.
Yeah, yes. everything's donated. It's all donations to
nice.
Them. Yeah, it's really cool.
So you do a spring cleaning, you get rid of your crap.
And they have the snakes in there.
They're everywhere with those snakes. Every event. They're at the
Pride Stride.
They're at the Sidewalk Bazaar. Yeah. They're at the Maritime Gloucester Days.
Yeah, it's Rick Roth is the guy who runs it and founded it, and then he has a whole team of awesome volunteers.
Like
Nick Taormina, you know Nick's sister. She runs. You know the coffee shop that you like over there. Oh, Pleasant Street Teas. That's his sister. Nick.
She's a Taormina.
She's a Taormina.
No.
Yes. Susan Taormina's kids are.
Oh, no. She doesn't run it. You're talking about the girl that works there.
Yeah, Pleasant.
Okay, not the owner. Okay, yeah. I know who you're talking about. And she has sisters that were married up at Stage Four Park on the same day, the twin sisters. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
They hurt. Oh, your earplugs are not.
You know what? One of them. I just said Lou Berry.
Oh, jeez.
So now I'm really hearing voices.
You know this Taormina girl that worked. I don't know if she still works there or not, but she was working at Cape Ann Coffee for a while, and she had twin sisters, and they got married on the same day at.
I don't think it's the same bandstand.
I think it is.
Because I know the mom, and she doesn't have twins. Maybe it was two sisters.
I don't know.
That's another restaurant.
Maybe I'm talking out of my ass. Who knows?
Yeah, but it was a very busy day. People were happy. People were also, and then we went kayaking. I did all this before 11:30, so that's scary.
Well, that's how you do it.
And then Rick and I went kayaking from Coolest Landing up to Winkishy Beach against the tide. That's a workout.
Oh, was that hard?
Yes.
Wow. Beast mode.
Oh yeah, but it was packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of boating yesterday.
And we went swimming, and it was like the winter and spring had never come. We were just on the continual for last summer. But it was
awesome. It was a beautiful day yesterday.
Oh my God,
what a way to kick off the summer.
Oh God, from here on out, it's just every weekend it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. It is. And
I have not been to Niles Beach yet. I'm dying to get to Niles Beach.
Niles Beach was. We had a picnic on the beach last night. It was beautiful.
Oh.
The light was beautiful, and then I had my nice camera, not just my cell phone camera, and my memory card was at home, and my spare memory card that's usually in my wallet was at home.
Yeah, but you had your iPhone. Your iPhone takes good pictures.
Yeah, I got a nice little video, a little Instagram of Liv and Matt on the beach, which was sweet. So.
I went. Sherry Zizek. I've been saying Zizek. It's Zizek.
Zizek.
It's Zizek.
I've been hearing it wrong for so long now. Zizek.
Sherry Zizek. Partners with Jim Davis in the new hotel, the Beaucourt Hotel. She called me about a month and a half ago. She says, I want you to have the first interview at the hotel. I'm like, thank you so much. Wow. Let me know and I'll be there. She called me. She emailed me 2 days ago and says, when can you come? I'm like, I'm getting out of work at 5 tonight. I'll go straight there, work clothes and all. And she took me on a tour of the place. It is over the top. So we started at the bottom. We worked our way up to the top of the hotel, and it's I don't know. It's okay. So there's four adjectives. I think I said it in the interview with Sherry, but it really sums it up. It's timeless. It is nautical themed.
Yes.
Everything has a nautical, very nautical theme. Beachy, kind of boat.
Salt.
Mahogany bookshelves and hardwood floors. It's gorgeous. But it's modern at the same time, because there's
like,
I don't like old. I'm not a fan of
like fusty.
Is that a word? Fusty?
Fusty, yeah.
Because I don't know what that means exactly, but it sounds perfect for what I was thinking.
Fusty, just like cobwebby old.
So there's a tavern on the, like right in the lobby when you first walk in. There's a tavern overlooking the water, and then there's like big all glass, and then you go out into this huge deck where there's a fire pit, and they're going to have soft seating around the fire pit. All of the chairs and the beach chairs and everything. You know how you go to a lot of places and they have those like wire strapped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that you have the marks.
You get the marks in your ass and everything.
Yeah.
No. This is all like high end.
Nice.
All the furnishings, high end. I made this statement, and I'm not sure if it's true. Everybody, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the only. It's going to be the only bar where they have straight on sunsets from that outdoor seating. Where else in Gloucester is there?
The lobster pool.
Lobster pool, but that's not a bar.
That's no, you don't. Right.
That's not a lounge.
Right.
Where can you guys think of anything? Anything facing that way?
Nope.
Rocky Neck, it doesn't face that way.
Rocky Neck.
All the restaurants in the harbor face the sunrise.
Right. Yeah.
Nope.
Right.
Southeast.
Nope.
It is. So they have there's a grand ballroom overlooking the, you know, where the greasy pole is and stuff like that. Huge, really tastefully done. They have and then they have two like rooms for conferences and stuff like that. And they're wired like high tech. You just plug in everything into the walls for the internet and the mics, so people don't have to bring their own PA systems. All like, and then they have these screens that come down out of the ceiling, and a projector that comes down out of the ceiling that you just funnel everything right on from your laptop right onto the screens and stuff.
I can't wait to go.
The furnace. This is not a 4-star. This is like five plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5+. So then the roof deck, the views from the roof deck, like 360-degree views of the inner harbor and the outer harbor. There's the pool up there is like it's flush with the deck, which I don't know how they do that. No, it's not. Infinity guy goes over on looking out there. This is like just in the middle of the deck, and then there's this big jacuzzi out there. And both of those spaces are all open to the Gloucester public, which is amazing to me.
Say that like, again. The pool is open to the public.
Not the public. No. I shouldn't say the pool. The dining area on the first floor, area. Overlooking the beach and stuff, all open to the public. The restaurants are all open to the public. Yeah.
Well,
it's not just for hotel guests.
Well, also, I think I mentioned this before, Tom and I met at the top of the Colonnade Hotel at their hotel pool, and that's because I had a membership to that pool up there, so perhaps there'll be memberships.
I doubt it. It's not that big of a pool.
Mm. Oh, okay.
They do that at Mile Marker, and their memberships are, it's a great buy for families and stuff. Okay. I don't think they're going to do that there. I could be wrong. I don't think so.
Well,
you drinking out of my mug?
No, you have your own.
Ah, cheers. Both Donna and I have these big Canon replica L series lens mugs. Well, I got mine for Father's Day.
Mine for Christmas.
What else can I say about this hotel? It's a couple weeks away. They're still finishing up. So I took all these videos and stuff, and I'm actually
You want to go back.
She told me I can come back anytime. But I don't want to put out the videos because there was like. They're still in the construction phase, so things were dusty and stuff.
Yeah.
So I really don't, like, I don't think it's going to do it justice. So I did, also, I want to say this. I took photos and I posted them on the blog from the second floor on the backside, which is Commercial Street, looking towards it. And the photos did not do the views justice.
It was very cool, though.
It was cool. And I think and people are saying, they're not going to like looking at these industrial things. It was very interesting, even to me, who like is around this stuff 24/7. And
to see the
way my camera captured it, it really wasn't. Because you could see the boat traffic in the harbor over the Mortellaro buildings and the Felicia Oil buildings. Yeah. So it looked way more industrial than it actually was. It was really cool.
I'm probably one of the few, but I love the telephone wires and the electrical wires. When you're looking, it's just...
I'm surprised they didn't bury those. I'm surprised they didn't.
But it kind of gives
it almost
like
impossible to bury lines on Cape Ann because of the granite bedrock.
But they do in Manchester.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult.
Shore Road to bury them.
Yeah.
Because they kept falling down.
So anyway, they're taking reservations.
So you're saying that from any room, the views are spectacular.
I mean, I didn't go. I don't want to sound like I'm talking out of my. I didn't go in every room. But I tell you, from the first level of floors where they have rooms,
right.
I would stay in one of those rooms that wasn't facing the water, the outer harbor.
Right.
Anytime, because it was still pretty cool.
When I like the entrance, they're making that entrance where you would
The turnaround and stuff.
Yeah,
and they just so the day I was there, they dropped down these huge granite bollards, and the granite came from Rockport, and they in the parking lot, and they got to string this really thick like hemp. What do you call a Bob Foley joint? He's just kind of sitting in the studio. He's our peanut gallery. What do you call the big like hawser? What do you call those? The kind of rope?
Hawser would be appropriate.
Like a hawser rope.
Yeah,
that would be a term. Yeah, that's going to go in between the bollards and kind of create continuation of this nautical theme.
And she also used mostly local people. The architect is Olson, I believe, from Manchester by the Sea, Wendover, Spittle.
The designer is from lived in Gloucester.
Yeah,
and I was shocked because it looks like some like. Well, I mean, this guy does do hotels and stuff like that. The design is really beautiful.
But I like the fact she uses the local businesses.
She does all the time. She uses us for lobsters. She's great. So the carpets, really high pile, high quality carpets, navy blue with like gold kind of rope and like stars, like in the hallways and stuff. Really gorgeous like nautical sconces. Each room has a brass. A seashell knocker on the doors.
She does it right.
The bar in the tavern seats 45. It's this huge, like oval shaped, granite topped with like mahogany beadboard kind of. I think I'm describing
it. Beadboard.
I have these pictures and I'm not posting them because I like even though it's like my ego would say. I should post them because I want to be the first because she invited me to be the first. But I want to do the right thing and just present it the right way.
Beadboard is a cottage thing.
No, I know what it is. I know what it is.
Can you post a few and then,
You did post some.
No, but I didn't post the inside photos and stuff.
Post a few and then revisit it and say, here it is, a month. Here it is 2 weeks later.
Yeah, we did tours, like video tours inside the rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe I will. Yeah. We'll see.
I don't want to just do it because
egomaniac.
We should do our podcast there.
On the deck. That is going to happen. There's no question that's going to happen.
I mean, our 200th, we're going to do there?
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can't it's get really away. Oh, if we did it on a Saturday when I didn't have the girls, we could do it.
Yeah.
If it lines up. But see, the thing is, we do the podcast on Sundays. In the summer. What?
Could try to line it up, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could try to figure it out.
Yeah, try to time we'll it correctly.
But I think
it would be quite a party. Because if we did it at 10 o'clock in the morning, we did Bloody Marys on the roof deck. That'd be a hell of a time.
Awesome.
You know what the problem is? So listen, all our contributors that never show up for the podcast, all of a sudden they're gonna come out of the woodwork, right? They don't want to get out of the bed. All of a sudden they're gonna show up, right? Like, no, just the regular. No, I'm joking.
I guess I'll have to miss yoga for that.
Paul Morrison, who emailed us and says, "Oh, I'm I'm coming for the podcast." He probably got drunk on his gin martinis that he drinks all the time. Morrison and his duck, a goddamn duck. I hate that duck. Donna, Magnolia
Farmers Market.
Farmers Market's coming back.
13th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 3:30. It's on a Monday. 3:30 to 6:30. I believe that's the time.
On Lexington Ave.
Last year we had, I forget how many vendors were there. The Magnolia Historical Society runs it.
Okay.
I'm actually going to be a vendor this year with my photos. I got myself a little tent.
You got a tent?
Yeah, Rick's getting me one for my birthday.
How much does it cost for a week to be a vendor?
I think it's 15, but I did the whole year.
That's it?
But I did the whole
year.
It's a steal. The whole year is 200, which is a steal.
That is a steal.
It is a steal. I did the whole year.
How many weeks in the year?
So from 13...
To goes to when? October?
No, I think right after Labor Day. It doesn't go as long. Okay, like September. Back to school. Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's awesome about it? It's Monday. It's on Mondays, and then we have our regular Cape Ann Farmers Market on Thursday. Yeah. So you can get fresh veggies.
Right. That's how I look at it. Monday, I need my fresh veggies from the weekend.
I love that.
And then Thursday, and I know Classic Cooks will be there, and Bob Marshall has been.
He's a great guy.
He's a fabulous guy.
We mentioned this a couple weeks ago that I see they're clearing out more land. I think they're going to do more interesting things like they do at.
The
Russell Orchards. They basically have like a petting zoo there. Yeah.
Well, they do there. I mean, you can go.
No, that's what I'm saying. It looks like he's creating more space to do more, to bring more people through.
And there's more horses there too.
Yeah. Oh, horses!
I didn't know you were going to say that.
Horses.
You can do horseback riding.
And they bring your bag, and you put your horse in the bag, and the bag in the horse.
The horses and the alpacas are just awesome.
I love alpacas.
There must be 20 of them at Marshall's.
I love them.
They don't spit. Remember, they don't spit.
That's llamas.
No,
oh, okay.
Llamas don't spit. And there's all different kind of alpacas there. The ones with the curly hair. And they're just, I love taking the kids.
They have Hasidic. Do they have Hasidic llamas there?
It looks like that.
Do they shear their alpacas for wool? What do they do with their alpacas?
I just go over there and pet them and...
So they say the fertilizer that gets produced by the alpacas is like the best fertilizer because they have four different digestive things. Yes. Four
and when they have that baby, Frankie, I think Frankie's going to be 2 years old now. I went over, I saw her was 3 days old and I couldn't stand it.
So Kim, give us the swan update. Everybody's dying. We're all sitting on the edge of our seats for the swan update.
Well, let's see. We have a young pair of swans that have moved in.
This is where I start typing on my cell phone.
Now
right?
You type on a cell phone.
My eyes start glazing over.
Rolling.
No, I'm joking. No, because there are people that are into this. Go ahead.
I'll try to be fast with the swan update.
It's a joke. Go ahead. I'm joking.
And, so we have Mr. Swan. Everybody knows Mr. Swan.
Who lost his mate.
He's lost his
Very
mate.
Sad.
Yeah, middle of last summer, and instead of dying, which many swans do when they lose their mate, he, you know, rallied, and we've been watching him do things like build a nest and things like that, so, but he's also very territorial, as most swans are, and appears to be a mated pair, have moved in. They're in their third year, so they're 2 years old, and you call them in their third year. So they have they still have a little light brown tan feathers from that the cygnets, still a little bit of cygnet coloring. But Mr. Swan is chasing them from pond to pond. So
to guard
his territory.
Because he thinks that there's gonna be a Mrs. like a young hussy swan gonna move in. He doesn't want to share that.
He doesn't want to share. So he'll fly into Niles and then he'll chase
over to Henry's
and they go over to Henry's. Then he'll come to Henry's at the end of the day like he usually does, and the young swans now will fly over to Niles. So we're having this little kind of conflict going, and I hope it doesn't get into a battle because it could be really ugly. Like Mr. Swan is old, but he's also very strong and he's very knowledgeable about how to fight because he's been guarding his territory for 21 years, and the new swan is young, but he's also very vigorous. So
Lindsay Coolidge should just give you money to camp out there and create the whole story because
I'm making a swan movie.
That's part of the thing. but he should finance it for you.
But
this
swan
special.
The swan movie also has every bird of Cape Ann in Mr. Swan's roots. So if from Rockport Harbor to Gloucester Harbor. So I'm recording every swan, every species of bird and wildlife that lives. So I have coyotes, turtles, everything. So that's part of the swan film.
Do you go over to Clock Pond?
Well, no, because that's not really part of Mr. Swan's route. Oh. So his route is Rockport Harbor to Gloucester Harbor. So
she's very invested in Mr. Swan.
Yeah, I am.
I took a picture of it one day, and
do the butterflies get jealous when you spend
swan looking for me? That's what I
want. Do the butterflies get jealous when you're paying attention to the swans?
No, but you know how I've learned about the swans.
What
was from filming the butterflies, and so then I went over to Niles at daybreak to get B-roll, and I started watching the swans, and every morning when I was there, they would. Like they had a whole swan family there, and in unison they would all lift up and circle around the pond, sound, and swans make this noise with their wings. I call it vibrant, throbbing wing beats. No other species of bird does it, not even other species of swans do it. And when the wind goes through their feathers, when they're flying, it's the most beautiful thing you ever heard. So I recorded that, and then I just got more and more involved with the swans as well. So
very, very exciting.
Yes. it's just like a window onto Cape Ann wildlife.
No, it really is. I appreciate the swans. Speaking of Cape Ann wildlife,
we have our plovers.
So we have the piping plovers.
Yeah.
And so this week it all, the news came out with the piping plovers that they're gonna lop off a section of the nesting area.
200 by 200.
200 by 200, and I've never heard such an outcry of people losing their shit because yeah. There might be a their spot where they usually sit at Good Harbor that they're not gonna be able to sit. I mean, literally, the comments that I'm hearing, like, oh my God, the city's gonna lose millions of dollars because of the parking that they're not gonna have because the people aren't gonna be able to sit on Good Harbor Beach. They're like, unbelievable.
The thing is, don't they realize those people say that means our beaches are healthy?
Yes.
And the piping plovers are endangered and they're protected. I think it's fabulous.
But it's just funny where people fall on certain things. Like, listen, everybody has their thing. Like, and it's all to different varying degrees. Like, there's certain people that love dogs, and there's me, right? there's people that, like, are very environmentally conscious, and they separate, they try to recycle every single thing. And then there's people that throw everything into the same bucket, right? But, so it's like, that's just the way people are.
Well,
so
people should realize that it is not impacting the beach at all in the way that people are, where the city's going to lose money. We still have the exact same amount of parking spaces, so we're going to take in the exact same amount of money. And this 200 square foot area just means that more people will be smashed in. Like, it already looks like sardines on a busy summer day anyway. Right. So they just have a little tiny bit less area.
And how many weeks is it for total?
It's
people. So another question that we keep hearing, people keep saying, is, well, how long are they going to do this? Is there a defined time?
Well, it takes 4 weeks for the eggs to hatch. So there's that 4 week period, and then it takes about another 4 weeks before the plovers can fly. So it's about 8 weeks. If the nests are disturbed and the plovers decide to make a nest somewhere else, then it could take another 2 weeks. However, I think people should understand too, though, that in that one cordoned off area is one nest, but I think there are a couple more other plovers making nests in other places. So
on that beach?
On the beach. So, no, also in the dunes.
In the dunes.
In the dunes.
People don't walk in the dunes.
They're not supposed to. You're not supposed to walk in the dunes.
They're going to do the dirty.
Or go to the bathroom.
Or poop.
Yeah, why people shouldn't walk on the dunes.
You shouldn't poop in the dunes?
No, you shouldn't walk on them because...
Oh, walk on the dunes.
Yeah, because you're disturbing they're trying to...
The beach grass.
The beach grass.
Because that holds the dunes.
Right, that holds the dunes in place.
Which prevents the flooding.
Right.
Well,
what's funny? You know what? Good Harbor Beach used to be called Little Good Harbor, and it was it was just basically a forest of conifers. And so,
what's
when
a conifer?
Pine trees.
Okay.
Pine trees. And so, when the colonists came in, they cut down all the pine trees, and it created So that harbor that little area that's the parking lot now, that used to be marshland and things like that in there. So, anyways, it's all...
And they filled it, and they made a parking lot.
Yeah, they made a parking lot.
And a bajillion people have enjoyed Good Harbor Beach because of that.
Right. But, I mean, that happened it became it became a beach when they cut down all the pine trees.
Right.
Then it became dunes and a beach and things like
Didn't
that.
Did they say the railroad cars are buried there or something?
There are a really cool little trolley used to go along there. So
and the tracks or something.
Yeah, the tracks.
Someone did a post on that
I've seen posts. I think I posted... This was like 3 years ago. I think I posted a postcard when you could see the tracks then.
Yeah. Very cool.
But I think it's very good for Good Harbor and Gloucester.
And we also have kildares down there nesting as well. They're not endangered.
What's a kildare?
It's a kildare. Is
a bird?
It's a bird. It's in the plover. It's another plover.
Oh, okay.
So piping plovers are called piping plovers.
The ones from Naples, the very endangered ones? Yeah. People had to listen to the last podcast to get that reference.
They like that one.
Huh?
So just people should know, it's not affecting us financially at all.
Right.
The city...
And it's for a finite number... it's not going to be all summer.
No, it's not going to be all summer, and it's... You know, it's a good thing that we're doing.
It is. I think it's awesome.
I'm all in. Yeah. I'm all in. I got to work anyway. I can't get down there. I go to Niles. And now, if they show up on Niles, I'm going to have a problem.
They probably won't go there because it's probably not enough.
I know. I think the mayor made a funny comment about why don't they go to Ten Pound Island because there's nobody over there.
Yeah, she told me that.
I think it's because there are no like sandy dune beaches over there. That's their habitat.
And they're very good at covering their eggs. Because someone was telling me that...
They don't cover their eggs.
But they camouflage a lot of stuff. So people were... I think it was up in Plum Island.
They don't cover them. That's the problem.
And the people, they
I'm surprised the seagulls don't eat them.
They do. The seagulls do eat them.
So how are you protecting them?
Right.
Is it a joke?
No,
is this a joke?
No, seagulls do eat them, but they're very well camouflaged by...
Right. Oh, because they're the same
because
color
they blend in with the sand.
That's
so basically the little plover digs out a little depression, finds a little depression, digs it out further. The male finds the little nesting site, then the female and he throw little stones in to the base of it. Then she deposits her, or, lays her eggs. And then, and they're totally exposed. That's the problem because they're camouflaged.
There's so many seagulls over there because they're eating all the people's trash.
There's tons of seagulls, right? But you should see the plovers. Like, I have this awesome photo. They will attack a bird five times their size.
Oh, I love it.
And they
get it on film.
I got it on film and I got photographs of it.
Nice.
And I'm going to post those photos soon. But the like I read a story about a killdeer that, because killdeers are slightly bigger than the plovers, and the plover attacked the killdeer, and then the killdeer was seen limping for the rest of the day. So nobody wants to mess with the plover.
Don't mess with the plovers. You mess with the plovers, you mess with my whole family. It's big like the mafia.
I love them. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, they're beautiful, charming, sweet, funny little birds.
You're very excited about this viral video from Harvard commencement speech giver Donovan Livingston.
Yes.
So why don't you explain what the whole premise was?
So it was, I think Harvard had their graduation on, perhaps it was Friday. So in just the last couple of days, this video has gone viral. And he's from the Graduate School of Business, I believe, Donovan Livingston. And he did a spoken word poem commencement speech, and it's only like 5 or 6 minutes long. You can go. You're gonna post it, right?
Yeah, you can post it. Why don't you post it for the 7 o'clock
time? Oh, at 7.
So just before this.
Anyway, so the poem is called "Lift Off," and it's beautiful. And his closing line is, "The sky is not the limit; it is only the beginning. Lift off." But he's done. Done in such a... It's a very poignant speech. It's beautiful.
I'm sure it's wonderful. Yeah. Not really. But you said he did it in a
spoken word poetry. Is, if people don't know what that is, I kind of describe it as half rap and sort of rap and poetry combined.
I think the best.
So Donna, tell me about your kayaking. You sent me yesterday. I'm sitting here working my butt off. It was a busy day. It's hot.
Hot.
Miserable.
By yourself.
It was nice. I was by myself. And then I get this email, Donna, who's on. she's on her kayak, and she texts me a picture of a blue Weber kettle on the Annisquam River.
Oh my!
She's on Weber alert, colored Weber alert. Yeah, for me. I love that you're thinking of
it. The photo because the tide was coming in.
It was great.
I said to the guy on the dock, "Do you mind if I
take your blue Weber?"
which blue was this? And it was a blue...
It was that aqua blue?
It was
No, it was like a...
It was a...
Royal blue.
But I said, yeah, oh my sure. God, I got the picture of...
It's great.
But it to find out that, though, the guy on the dot owns Prince on Route 1, one of our clients.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's funny.
And Rick goes... Cast a party.
So if we talk about that aqua blue Weber grill enough, somebody's going to have one.
That's not
well, I texted a picture of the red one, too. There was
so I want
one.
The red. Red.
Yeah. When I see those people, I'll say, listen, I know someone wants your red Weber grill.
But you can still get red, can't you? Can you still get red?
You can always paint it, but it's not the same.
No, no. I had a red, but it was crimson, which was more of a brick color.
Yeah. Oh, you want the
This was like a, it was a vintage one.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a candy apple red.
Yes, oh, that's
what
it was. Oh, really yeah.
fun.
It's cool. I sold my crimson one on I'm basically down to the grill that I have down the dock.
Right.
The small Smoky Joe that I have down at the dock.
Right.
So I have the big one and the small one down the dock. Then I have the smoker down the dock.
Okay.
So and then I have the one, the performer, the one that has the table attached to it,
where the
performer
house.
At the house.
Right.
And I have a lime green little Smoky Joe one that's
so
still
five.
In the box.
That's five so far.
No, because the smoker's a smoker. The smoker is not a grill.
Oh, okay.
So it's four, but there's a big one and a small one at the house, and a big one and a small one here. Because you really don't need a big kettle if you cook it for one.
Right, of course not.
Legitimately, you don't. So it's much more efficient to have the small one, because you don't need a lot of charcoal.
No. I totally agree. That's
we have a small one and a large one.
That's why I have a big oven and a little oven.
And I sold it. I sold it for less. It was new in the box, and I immediately after it left, I had regrets.
Oh.
I legitimately have regrets for selling it because
Seller's regret.
But whatever, what can you do?
Seller's remorse.
Forward,
seller's
I have a plan. Next spring, I'm gonna. Next spring, before the weather turns, I'm gonna buy a bunch and restore them on Craigslist. Aww. I'm just gonna look for them on Craigslist.
I'm worried about you.
You shouldn't be, because I bought and sold a bunch of grills.
I think it's funny,
week.
Though.
It's a good, nice hobby. Oh, so then, this week, I don't know if you guys followed this, but like, Stop & Shop had the Stop & Shop brand charcoal, which was on sale for like $3.89 a bag.
Yeah, that's like half off. That's a lot.
It's like, so a regularly priced Kingsford charcoal is like $10 a bag.
Mm-hmm.
So on sale, you can get it for like twice a year. They have a big sales at the big box outlets, Home Depot and Lowe's, where it goes like half off, which brings it down to $5 a bag, right?
Right, and then this
was $3.89 a bag.
The Stop & Shop.
The Stop & Shop brand.
Do you like that brand as much?
I do.
Okay.
I think it's. I think it's
compared.
I think it's
compared.
I read a ton on these forums, barbecue forums, and like the old guard, and even Smoking Jim
right
said charcoal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he who knows more
who
who's
knows
dealt more
right.
with charcoal than yeah.
Smoking Jim.
Right. So I went to, I'd made two trips. I got 9 bags one day and 8 bags the next day. So I'm loaded up. I'm set.
Right. That's how I shop. Like if Jim's, you know, 2 for $1, I get a whole bunch or what. And Stop & Shop is really good for those kind of sales, I feel.
It is only smart, in my opinion. Right. It drives me crazy. Like so if there's like a kind of a sweater that I like it it just fits me right and everything, and it's on and like. And it's on like some kind of crazy sale. I'll buy three of them.
No, I think that's
because they're timeless and you'll wear them forever and ever.
As long as you buy different colors,
right?
As long as you buy different colors, absolutely.
No, I've done that with a couple of dresses before. Like it was such a winner. I was like, oh, I'm going to get it while it's still there.
Kate does that. I think I've actually told her if you find something that you just absolutely love and you wear it all the time,
get another
buy,
one.
And they're on like you know. You're gonna buy it for like nothing.
Bathing suits.
You bury it. Yeah.
If you find a style that fits you,
and then you never have to go bathing suit shopping. Yeah, that sounds like a plan to me.
That's what I do. I buy the same brand because it fits me on the top and the bottom.
Do you have to? Because you have huge boobs.
I have huge.
Do you have to? Do you have to buy a different size? But you're thin. You're thin as well. So do you have to buy a different? You probably have to mix and match.
Well, some of the bathing suits I buy, I buy a six.
And then you.
And sometimes I have to fix the bottom.
You take the
bottom. I have to take it in a little bit on the thigh.
You sew?
No.
So what do you do? How do you take?
I do it myself, but it's not pretty.
So what do you do?
I do it myself, but it's got big stitches.
No, yeah, I said you sew. And you said, no, I don't sew.
Don't
so,
really,
but then you said you sew.
It's like it's not staple gunned.
Oh, okay. Bobby pins?
It's not duct tape.
Duct tape.
Duct tape and bobby pins?
But no, but when I buy...
You don't have any wardrobe malfunctions.
But when I buy bathing suits, I will go and buy three of them.
In the same
brand.
Brilliant, yeah.
Because they fit me.
Right.
Oh, well, no, you do it even if it's not on sale, but just because, okay,
well,
they fit me right.
Because it's not the worst than trying on bathing suits.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys wear a pair of shorts. We have to cover top and bottom.
You don't have to make the top and the bottom fit.
Yeah, no, I imagine. It must be
something else.
I'm not a fan of it. Like, you know, it's funny. Like, so I didn't give a plug to the Coastal Dog swimwear that I love, those swimsuits for men.
Yeah.
Because they actually have nice styles. They have nice cuts and everything. But they have that inner liner.
That
quick drying inner liner. Because... I don't know. Women probably don't know. Women don't have to deal with this as far as bathing suits. A lot of these bathing suit manufacturers, they put this mesh.
I know.
And it is not particularly comfortable on your
especially
on your
it's
nuts.
Especially sand in there.
Yeah.
Oh.
But the sand wash is true. But like the mesh, it's kind of like it's
very uncomfortable.
It's not comfortable for your jabundis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mesh doesn't sound right.
No, it isn't. But the Coastal Dog with that, they have this
like
dry,
like
and it's quick dry. It's
line.
So comfortable.
Yeah.
Really, it cradles your junk.
Sometimes I like the tankinis because you can get the two pieces. So that's an easy way.
Tankinis
or whatever the tankinis.
Oh, man. So right. There you go.
We have to say one more thing about the Schooner Challenge is coming up on June 6th.
June 6th. Is anybody
Monday
planning
night.
To go on that?
I'm thinking about
Boston?
It. I'm
just thinking about
yeah,
it. I have jury duty the next day.
Oh, you do? I'm super swamped at work.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm super swamped with work right now, but I'm really...
Yeah.
And Monday's usually a big day, but I'm really thinking
now, which boat would you go on?
Well, I was thinking about going on the Adventure, and that way then I could take really cool pictures also of... Because you could get cool
big adventure person.
Yeah, and then you could take pictures of the Lannan and the Ardell from the Adventure. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
What, all in on the Adventure.
I love all our schooners. And I especially...
So you're particularly all in on the Adventure.
And I especially love Tom Ellis and the Lannan.
Oh, the Lannan.
He's a friend. And I really... And Tom and he.
They're all doing good. They're all working together, which is really nice.
And the Ardell. I love when the Ardell and the Lannan.
I loved how they were. Obviously they are competing for the same passengers, but they do it in a nice way, and they work together promoting.
Yeah, they do.
And this is a fundraiser for the Essex Shipbuilding Museum, right?
It's for a particular schooner. I forget what
is
the
name. Ernestina.
Yeah, I think so.
Evelina Morrissey Goulart thing. I don't know.
Speaking of the Essex Shipbuilding, next Saturday's their photography class.
Oh, okay.
Great. Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's full.
Is that Len? Who's teaching that?
My boyfriend, Len.
Len.
Dave DeLowry, Barry O'Brien, and oh my God, I'm missing somebody, and I'm so sorry. I can't remember, but it's a great class.
It's a great class. I love it.
Great class.
I love it.
And Amy Kerr is having a show over at the Ocean Alliance.
Next Saturday.
Friday night, yeah.
Next Saturday.
Okay.
I need you to tell Heidi Dallin that me and the girls are in for Lettuce
Saturday.
And Lovage. We're gonna be in the performance.
Let me use your pen. Okay, Saturday.
You need to get a hold of Heidi. For some reason, I do. All my correspondence to Heidi goes through you. For some reason, I don't know why that is.
All right.
But yes.
Next Saturday, and the show's at 2:00. You know that, right? So if you want to be.
Oh, it's at 2:00.
I believe so.
It's gonna break up the day.
Isn't Saturday and Sunday? Do they have matinees and an evening show?
I think they
show?
Have an evening show.
Okay.
All right. Let me make sure.
But you, want,
you know,
you
let
want,
me make sure before we do this.
You
want
to?
We'll talk about this off air.
Okay. All right. I'll find out from Heidi. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What's wheezing?
And then you
not
guys,
me.
You guys are going to be tourists,
be
right?
Yes.
You guys are going to be tourists, right? Are you going to?
Yeah. Touristas.
Okay, so you have to come like an hour early.
I think they said a half hour, but whatever. Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll talk.
Do
We'll talk. You have your people talk to my people.
Your peeps to my peeps.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, GloucesterCast 185. Thank you guys for coming. Oh, man. It's always fun.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of fun. Thanks for not bringing donuts.
I know.